Very good morning, and I trust all of you had a very good night rest. No. Too bad. Pray and ask the Lord to help you sleep well. Life's two choices. We are people who make choices all the time. You choose to come to this family camp, others did not. Very often, the choices we made are based upon fear. Why do people not drive beyond the speed limit? Because we are afraid of being caught by the traffic police. Imagine there are no traffic policemen, but the speed limit law remains. You cannot speed beyond 110 kilometers per hour in the highway. But if there is no policeman to enforce the law, many of us, we just couldn't care less. We just keep on driving. They won't be around. In Singapore, we have cameras. Right? In certain traffic junctions, they have cameras also to make sure that we do not beat the red light. We have laws in the home to teach our children. We have laws in schools to teach our children. We have rules and regulations in places of work. These rules and laws that we have all around us throughout our lives is to instill fear in us, just in case we transgress. And this morning, when we talk about life's two choices, you'll find that King Solomon began by telling us that the first thing that we must do when we choose wisdom is to begin with the fear of God in our hearts. There is no other way, no alternative. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or the beginning of wisdom. You find it in Proverbs 9:10, wisdom and knowledge. Now, of course, when we talk about the knowledge of God, it is always referred to the application, not just the hearing of God's word, not just the memorization of God's word. But after we have learned and memorized God's word, then we must let the word of God affect our lives. That is the meaning of knowledge in the Bible. Good knowledge, true knowledge. And so when Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, the choice is yours and mine. Choose wisdom means to choose to fear God. Reject wisdom means reject the fear of God in our hearts. What is the fear of the Lord then? How does the fear of the Lord becomes the first and most important step toward gaining true wisdom and knowledge? The fear of the Lord is the fear that comes from God, where God is the source, where God will place in our heart a kind of a fear that will help us walk the straight and narrow path. Firstly, who is the Lord that we must fear Him? We know that He is all-powerful. There is no one on earth more powerful than Him. And the Bible tells us that this all-powerful God will be our judge one day. Ultimately. In other words, no man can escape Him. No man is powerful enough to stop Him from judging us. This is one aspect of God that must instill fear in our hearts. The Jews feared Hitler. The people in the days of Nebuchadnezzar feared him. Whatever he said, the people did. He created a huge statue for all to bow at the sound of the trumpet. The three friends of Daniel did not. But the rest of Israel, who were captives, transported from Jerusalem to Babylon, they bowed. They feared him. Those who refused will be thrown into the fiery furnace. But the three friends of Daniel, they feared God more than they feared Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's fire. The fear of God is real. We fear God because He is omnipresent and omniscient. Wherever we are, wherever we go, we cannot escape Him. We cannot hide even our most secret thoughts from Him. Your innermost motives for every action is known by Him. Can't escape Him. We can escape our wives when we want to do something naughty. We can escape the pastor, the elders, our bosses. In the army, we have an RSM, Regimental Sergeant Major. We call him the Mad Dog. Mad Dog because he likes to scold people. And he is very fierce. He walks around with his uniform that is creased, no crease at all, well starched. In those days, my day, you have to wear that kind of uniform to look like a disciplinarian. And he was a disciplinarian. He walks around with his staff holding up like this, and he'll walk around and he'll just observe. And then he will check on all of us, those on duty, throughout the entire week. That's his job. And so we call him the Mad Dog. People are afraid of him. But I know of many of my friends who will only pull up their socks when he is around. When he is not around, they fool around, they play truant, they sleep on the job. Literally, they sleep on the job. They couldn't care less when he is not around. But when they see him walking toward them in the distance, they all put up a front, put up a show. And so this Mad Dog would hide himself, sneak up on us, just to catch it, because he knows that we put up a front when he is around. He is not omnipresent. If he is over there, he cannot be here. But God is different. God is omnipresent and he is omniscient. Not only is he everywhere, everywhere we go, he knows our thoughts for every action that we do. And so Solomon understood this important truth. And so he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Lord, His covenantal God. This is the first step toward true wisdom. And this must be the primary force behind your choice and my choice in life situation. Especially important decisions that you and I have to make. Now, the fear of the Lord will not come into the picture, for example, whether you want to choose this brand of toothpaste or another brand of toothpaste. Correct? It must affect your dressing, my dressing, when we talk about the fear of the Lord. It must affect our decision concerning what kind of job to do, what kind of job to do not do. What kind of life partner to have, not to have. How to bring up children. These are important decisions that we make. And very often we allow another type of fear to affect our decision. Fools will despise wisdom and instruction. They will not listen. Solomon says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thine head and chains about thy neck. The training up of children is the job of both parents. Not just the mother, not just the father. In situations when the Lord take one party home, then you have no choice. The partner that remains will be both father and mother to the children. But by and large, it must be the job of both father and mother to bring up our children. And Solomon used a very good illustration at this point to help us understand that through parents, children who learn from parents will have as it were, an ornament of grace upon their head and chains about their neck. They wear something around them and on top of their head throughout their lives, whereby when people look at them, they look at them as people of integrity, people who knows how to make the right decisions in life. You look at the way that they choose the jobs. You know that this person, this son, this daughter had chosen well. You look at the friends that they have around them. He is a wise son and a daughter. There are many, many unwise children around. They follow wrong friends. You find them in schools. Many of them. One school principal of that I know in a kindergarten shared with us that even in the school, the son is only in primary 5. Some of his friends, or not so much his friends, his classmates, would grab hold of his hand and force him to gamble with them. And he didn't want to, and they threatened him. If you don't, we won't let you go. Primary 5. This boy was wise. He complained to the mother, and the mother complained to the disciplinary master of that school. And the disciplinary master called up the boys. Don't you ever dare to threaten this boy again. If we ever caught you, you will be severely punished. But these boys didn't let this young man go. This boy, the other boy, his friend. They threatened him with a makeshift gun that shoots satay sticks. Primary 5. You have people like this at a very young age to affect and to influence our children. You won't be in school, parents. But what you teach them at home, they will bring with them in school, into the schools. And when they mix around with the people, what you have taught them at home must enable them to make the right decision when you and I are not around. But the word of God, the teachings that you have imparted upon them, will have to be their mainstay to help them make the right decision in choosing the friends. You can't sit with them throughout the entire 10 years of their life through primary school and secondary school. You can't. Absolutely impossible. You have your own life, your other responsibilities. But what you teach them will be like a grace upon their head and a necklace around their neck. The word of God, the fear of the Lord, that will help them make the right choices. And this applies to all of us. Is this wisdom hard to find? Verse 20 tells us, the wisdom is not hard to find, it is available to all. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. This is wisdom personified as if it is a human being. Crying out loud, come on, accept me, hear me, listen to me. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates where everyone can hear. It is not hidden. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? How long will the simple ones remain as naive individuals? Because from naivety, they will very quickly pick up sins in their life where they will become scorners. Scorners are those who talk with great boasting, and they will make fun of God and His Word. Scorners delight in their scorning. And fools. Fools are not a description of those who are of low IQ, of those who are stupid. Fools describe people who can see the pearl of great price, but they would not be bothered to give their all to buy it. After searching for it for the rest of their life, and they do not know how to appreciate it, they are those who reject the wisdom, God's word. The Bible calls them fools, they hate true knowledge. You compare the knowledge that we gain and the knowledge that is the Word of God we gain through our studies. What knowledge that is of this earth that will last for eternity? You name one. Sciences keep changing through the discoveries that man made out of God's creation. Geography and history and topography keep changing. Economics keep changing. Well, you say, well, medical science do not change much. Well, it changes as well. There's so many things that doctors can't do for us. That's why they brand this particular group of illness as terminally ill. Doctors are helpless. They can ease the pain. That's all. They will see the patient slowly ebb away. They are utterly helpless. What science is eternal? When we are in eternity with the glorious body, all doctors are rendered useless instantaneously. Our bodies won't fall sick anymore. We don't need your service. What architecture will last for eternity keeps changing. Buildings are demolished all the time through the years. Once its lifespan has been reached, they are demolished. Which profession? Lawyers, you are only good in your own country. Another country, the law will be totally different and you are again rendered useless. But the Word of God through all the ages, this is true knowledge. And so the Bible says, if we do not receive and choose the wisdom of God, we will be called simpleton. We will be called scorners. We will be called fools. And the wisdom tells us, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Choose wisdom or foolishness. Life's two choices. The choice is ours to make. It is hard because it begins with rebuke. It begins with, turn you at my reproof. Wisdom says, some of you do not like to hear hard words, harsh words. They do not like to be told sin for what sin really is. Perhaps, like this young man, a flippant youth asked a preacher one day, and he boldly said this to the preacher, you say that unsaved people carry a weight of sin. And this flippant young man says, well, I feel nothing. What exactly is this weight of sin? How heavy is it? Is it 10 kilograms, 80 kilograms, 100 kilograms? How heavy is this weight of sin? The preacher replied by asking the youth, if you laid a 400 kilogram weight on a corpse, would the corpse feel the load? The youth replied, it would feel nothing because it is dead. And the preacher concluded, that spirit, too, is indeed dead, which feels no load of sin, or is indifferent to its burden. And he is flippant about the presence of sin in his life. Choose wisdom, or choose foolishness. Have we been choosing foolishness all our lives? Believing that God does not know? We choose because of our own desires, our own abilities, and our own ambition. We never consult God when we choose a life partner. We never consult God when we change jobs. Hardly would we care what God would think until and unless everything collapses around me. Then I will ask God to help me, take me out of my distress. We never ask Him. But God says, if you choose me, then it must begin with the fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And this fear must cause you and me to know that the Word of God is not fun and games. Study it, love it, and let it change your life and my life. If not, then we will be considered as fools. Turn you at my reproof. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Why is it the first step? Because when we fear God, when we know that we will stand before Him as judge, you and I will want to have a Savior. No one wants to stand before God and see Him as judge. We want to see Him as our Heavenly Father. And that's why the first step when we fear God is to find a Savior. Because when God looks at our hearts, our sins, He knows that we are under condemnation. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. And when Jesus Christ comes into our life, the Spirit of God will make us born again. And we will become a new creature. We will be transformed and changed completely, all of us, without exception. And when we experience that, the Bible tells us, God will make known His word unto us. We will love His word. Which baby does not love the mother's milk? The word of God is like milk to every newborn again believer. You must have this natural inclination and desire for the word of God. Not like the flippant youth who would boast, I feel no weight of sin in my life. That's because he is dead in his sin. But those who struggle will not be so flippant. The consequences of rejecting wisdom, verse 24 to 33. If we choose to reject the wisdom of God, then we will have to bear the brunt of whatever pain and misery and distress and troubles that will come our way. Because I have called, the wisdom says, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You do not want it. It is not because I'm hard to find, wisdom says, but you have chosen to reject it. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. And so wisdom says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Please, do not think that God will always be there for you and I to find when we choose to reject Him. There will come a point in time when it will be too late. Study the Old Testament and you'll find that on a few occasions, the long-suffering of God has a limit. Look at the life of Israel. God was very patient with Israel when Israel was in Egypt. 10 miracles were performed by God in punishing the Egyptians to let the Israelites know that there is a world of difference between people of God and the Egyptians. And God brought them out of Egypt. And in the course of their escape, they were sandwiched between the rock and a hard place. The sea was in front of them, the Red Sea. And behind them were the elite army of Pharaoh and his chariot. God parted the Red Sea. Israel crossed over. When Pharaoh and his chariot followed suit, the sea collapsed around them and they drowned. 3 days after that, they had no more water. They murmured, they complained, God gave them water. 2 days later, no more food. They murmured and they complained. God gave them manna from heaven, which they worked not. Every morning there will be manna. They wanted meat. God gave them quail. No water again. They murmured. They complained. They murmured. They complained. They murmured. They complained. 1.5 years. All the way, even after God had given to them the 10 commandments, the tabernacle, and when they were at the brink of entering into the promised land, God asked Moses, send in 12 spies, one from each tribe. And they went in there, took 40 days to recce the land. And they came back. It was truly a land of milk and honey. The bunches of grapes were so heavy, they need 2 people to carry it. Milk and honey. But then they said also, the people of the land were like giants and we are like grasshoppers. The Anakim were the relatives of Goliath. And they were huge and they were scared. And so the 10 spies told Israel, we better not go in or we will be killed. And the rest of Israel listened to these 10 spies. And because of that, God said, well, you don't want to go in, you will not go in at all. And then the people changed their mind. Lord, we are sorry, please forgive us. We want to go in now. And so they tried to go in and they were killed. And God told them, it is too late. You had an opportunity to enter in your wilderness journey from Egypt to the promised land should have lasted no more than 1.5 years. But because of this unbelief, for every day that you took to recce the land, you will wander 1 year in the wilderness. 40 days of recce, 40 years of wilderness wandering. And they had to wander in the wilderness. The long suffering of God has a limit. The wisdom that God had availed to us, shouting as it were in the openings of the gates for everyone to hear and listen, readily available. But this availability will not be there all the time. God says, I will also laugh at your calamity just as you laugh when I offered you my wisdom. I will mock when your fear cometh. When you do not fear God, other fears will come into your life. We fear when we lose jobs, when our homes are on hire purchase. How am I going to pay the HDB if I lose my job? How am I going to feed my children if I have no job? I am in my 50s now. I thought my job was secured. Who will hire me now? What do I do? How will I provide? My children are still young. The fear will envelop us, overwhelm us. And God says, I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when it comes very quickly, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. But God says, I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why would God say that? Why would God say that? Because there will come a point in time when your calamities and your circumstances have become so far gone that you will still have to bear the consequences of your actions. A person who lives a life of fornication and he is afflicted with AIDS, you pray and ask God to forgive you. Yes, God will forgive you. And you think God will not heal you of your AIDS, you will still have to go through the consequences of your sin and you will probably die of AIDS. You rob in the course of your business. You committed criminal breach of trust because you have overstretched yourself in your stocks and your shares and you pilfered from the company's funds. And now you are caught. You do not know what to do. You are facing a jail sentence. And you cry out to God and God says, yes, I will forgive you, but you still have to go through the prison. That's what it means. God will not supernaturally lift you and I out of the consequences of our action when it is sinful. We have to pay for the short-term, real-to-life, right-now kind of a consequences for some actions that we commit. Please, bear that in mind, young people. You live a debaucherous lifestyle of addiction, drinking. You get drunk, you get addicted to it. You think it will not affect you in years to come. It will. It will. When you are distressed, you will turn to liquor instead of to God. Watch. And then when that happens, you beat up your wife, you beat up your children, and you pay the consequences of your sin. Be careful of drugs. Be careful of wrong company. Be careful of sins in our life when we reject the wisdom and we choose our own way. when we fear the consequences that come our way, it will be too late. God says, I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Life two choices. Fear of the Lord, or the fear of man, or fear of circumstances around us. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. This is very true of a person's life. There was this great artist called Rembrandt. He tried to paint himself when he was young, when he was godly, when he wanted to follow God. And he painted himself and he looked so angelic. Then after that, he lived a debaucherous lifestyle. Whatever fancied him, he just lifted out of his life. He just picked in whatever his heart desired. And at the end of his life, after a very debaucherous and reckless life, he painted himself. He was a haggard, run-down, old, spent individual. And the contrast was very clear. By then, even if he had chosen to relive his life, ask God to forgive him. Lord, help me. It's gone. It's gone. You can't turn back the clock and relive your life. The moment you and I waste it, that's it. This week that you and I have chosen to be in the family tent, others did not. Those who did not, after this week is past and gone, if they want to choose to come, it's too late, it's gone. Your choices, my choices, will have that kind of lasting effect. At that point in time, you and I make a decision. Whatever you and I have chosen, we have to live with it. We can play back. Lord, I have made a wrong choice. Please, let me. Can't. When my sister passed away in Paris all by herself, I regretted not sending her off at the airport. I wish I could turn the clock back and choose to go to the airport to send her off. But I did not. And I can't change that no matter how hard I try. And when her body came back from Paris, the fear and the feeling of going to the baggage compartment to claim her body was terrible. Terrible. It's a feeling that is so distasteful that every time I think about it, phew, I shiver. We had to rent a pickup, take the body, put it at the back, and we sat at the back, my brothers and I. You know the kind of feeling? You go to the airport to go to the arrival part to receive your loved one. But this time you have to go to the baggage. How to turn back the clock? I can't. I didn't even say goodbye. I didn't even have time to talk to my sister at all. Gone. Opportunity gone. Life choices. How do I turn the clock back? I can't. And that is why choices are of utmost importance. What is the basis, your basis and my basis? The fear of the Lord or the fear of circumstances? This fear of circumstances will not be there until it is too late. We may choose because our own heart's desire demands it, and then we pay for it. How do you choose a school for your children? How did you do it? Did you commit it to the Lord, or do you choose it? Because, well, the government has given me this long list. What are the best schools? And so therefore, by hook or by crook, my children must be found in the best schools. Because the percentage of passes, 100%. Have you asked the Lord? We just choose. Which faculty do you want to go to when you choose to study in institution of higher learning? Well, those that will give me the most amount of money. And so we go in. And then we graduate and we come out. Computer expert, this profession, that profession. Whether we like it or not, as we said, the point is, I will make lots of money. And so we train ourselves to become like this. But we hate what we are doing. But it gives me a lot of money, that's all. But I hate what I'm doing. You live in a big house, with lots of money, big bank account, but you hate what you are doing. And you can't change it. You are now what you are because of your training. And the attraction of getting more and more money will make it very difficult for you to turn around. Because you have tasted this superb lifestyle. You can't get rid of it, like Lot. The Bible says just Lot lived in Sodom all his life after he left Abraham. And every day when he looked around him, he was vexed in his spirit, literally. His daughters were affected by the debaucherous lifestyle of the Sodomites. When he sees around him homosexuality and lesbianism, he couldn't take in this kind of filth and sin. But because all his economic hopes and dreams planted into Sodom, he couldn't just pick up himself and leave, because he would leave behind everything that he had worked for. And so he remained in Sodom, sitting at the gate to tell us that he was an important man. His economic rooting caused him to live a life of vexation of spirit. Morally, he was born again. Practically, he lived among sin. And he was a very sad individual. Could he have turned around? Very, very hard. The pull and the attraction of the good economic life that he enjoys in Sodom forced him to stay. The sinful life around him gave him a lot of heartache. His family was affected. Please understand that we are sinful people. There are certain things that will happen to us that may cause us a lot of heartache and pain. And because we are so attracted to it, that if it need be, it must be uprooted from our lives before we can truly change and turn around. So wisdom says, turn you at my reproof. When Dr. John Song speaks, I read his biography and this particular incident keeps sticking in my head. I can't take it out. See, when he speaks, people like to decorate the stage, right? You know, like when our PAP or the leader speaks, then the stage are full of flowers and all to make it very nice and all that. Well, they did the same for Dr. John Song. Once and once only. They never dared to do it again. Because he used the pot of plants for his illustration. He says to the congregation, you must uproot the sin from your life. And he'll take the plant and he'll uproot it and then throw it away. All the plants are gone. He did it. And the people got the message. And after that, nobody dared to put plants for him to uproot. It cost money. But that's what he did. And that's exactly what you and I must do. Lot must uproot himself from Sodom and leave Sodom. And he did it. Only by force, when God was about to destroy Sodom. And the angels literally, if you read, had to pull him out of Sodom. Literally. And he lost everything. But it was too late for his two daughters. Their life was changed, morally speaking. They were immoral individuals. Slept with the father, caused him to be drunk. But daughters would do that to their own father. The daughter's life have been molded by the life in Sodom. How to change them around? Too late. Too late. Life choices. How you choose, how I choose to bring up our children will affect them. And when they become teenagers, when they become adults, they have been molded by our choices. And if we choose wrongly to bring them up, we pay the price. We will have wayward children, children who will hate God, who will love money, and who will despise God because they see in us our hypocritical lifestyle. Who is to be blamed? We. We ask God to forgive, yes, God will forgive, but then we still have to reap the final product of the wayward behavior of our children, and we will have to bear with the sorrows and the pain If our children end up in prison, we will have to go to prison to visit them. How else? You can't turn them away. They are still your sons or daughters. You have to visit them. When they come out, you still have to look after them, help them find a job. How will they find a job? I'm an ex-convict. This Indian man that I met when I was going to Bukit Timah Plaza to collect my daughter's glasses just before the camp. Her power has increased. So I was walking there and this Indian man appeared. Then he asked, "Do you speak English?" I said, "Yes." "Can I help you?" "I'm an ex-convict." He told me straight off, "I have no money. I just had a job. But my pay won't be until the end of this week, the 7th of June. Please, I have 5 children. I have no money to feed my children. What do I do? Please." They are now at home waiting for me to come home with food in my hand. If I go home empty-handed again, I do not know what to say or do to my children. And then he told me this that struck me. It is easier to have money when I do wrong. It is so hard to have money to feed my children when I try to do right. He's afraid of the police. He dare not rob again. He was caught for robbing with a weapon. He had made his choice. If we mold our children the wrong way because we have taught them incorrectly, we will have to reap this kind of fruit. Does he, this man, have parents? Sure. If you were the parents of this man, what would you do? The heartache, the pain that you will have to go through. Your son has ended up like this. Going around begging for money to feed your grandchildren. What happened? Life's choices. You choose wrongly and we will have to pay for it because we can't relive our life. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. How true, isn't it? For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Please, do not choose prosperity over the wisdom of God. Please, do not turn away because of simplicity. Young people, as you are a teenager, as you are growing up, you feel as if you are invincible. You feel as if you can do anything and you don't need your parents. Every time the parents tell you to do certain things, you feel as if they are there as a burden, as a thorn on your side. True? Young people? And the parents tell you, "Please, don't go out with this boy, with this girl. Ah, your mommy and daddy, you don't know what they are talking about." You think you know it all and so on and so forth. When you turn away, because of your simplicity, the wisdom of your parents, you pay the price. You pay the price. "But whoso hearkeneth unto me," wisdom says, "shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." You will not have to fear evil because you have feared the Lord. When whatever calamity comes your way, not of your own doing, because of a crime you have committed, calamities will still come beyond your control. You have nothing to fear because you fear the Lord, and the Lord will aid you, will help you. Why do you think Daniel and his 3 friends were able to stand up to Nebuchadnezzar? The others couldn't. They could. Why? Because they fear the Lord. Young Daniel, right from day one, when he stepped foot on Babylon soil, he had really determined in his heart, "I will not defile myself," because he feared God. And so he refused to eat the food of the king. And throughout the next 70 years of his ministerial life, Daniel feared the Lord. Young people, you could be like Daniel. And you will not have to fear the evil of this life. King Solomon will use one illustration to tell us how practical the wisdom of God is. And so he says in verse 10 to verse 19, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. How will sinners entice me? Well, they will say, 'Come with us. Let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause.'" See, for no rhyme or reason, but for the fact that we can line our pockets with money. Come with us, join us, please. Let us lay wait for blood. If need be, we will rob and kill. Let us look privily for the innocent. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. Why? Because we shall find all precious substance, we shall find our houses with spoil. You will be rich. We. Notice how they use the word we to pull you in, to attract you, to join them. Why do young boys and girls join gangs? Because as a we, they can walk around the school strutting like a peacock. They have their gang to protect them. Why do people steal and cheat? Because they want to line their pockets. They want wealth, feeling and believing that they will not get caught. We shall fill the houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. We will share with you. Is this not the modus operandi of all thieves? Trying to entice you, young people, to join them, to get what they can out of this world, to have houses filled with all good things, through deception, through theft, through murder, through killing, whatever it takes, and we will divide the spoil. You become part of us. Be careful of such enticement. They are subtle, they are clever, and they are all around us. Some of them dressed very nicely. There was this young man whom everybody knew in America in a small little town. Very honest looking, very decent, very approachable, very well mannered. And then finally he was caught with a 16-year-old girlfriend for robbery and for multiple murders. After his high school, he joined the Marines. Then when he came back, he was a changed man. They didn't know it. He still looked the same, outwardly speaking. They hitchhiked, and the person, the young man, 19-year-old boy who picked them up, was murdered by them. He took his vehicle. Along the way, they robbed a grocery store, and they killed the people that were in the grocery store. And they were caught. A 17-year-old young man. Multiple murders and robberies. What happened? He looked very fine, outwardly speaking. Young people, watch yourself. Old people, watch yourself. The fear of the Lord is the only safeguard that you and I have to help us make the right choices in life. This enticement that comes from wicked people will be very, very attractive. Very attractive. And they will try their utmost to trip us, to cause us. Because when we have the fear of God, we will label sin for what it is. Sin is sin, no matter how we may choose to dress it, it will still be sin. There was this preacher who often spoke on the subject of sin. He means no words, but defines sin as that abominable thing that God hates. And then a leader in his congregation didn't like it very much, and he came up to him on one occasion and urged the pastor, the preacher, to stop using the ugly word, abomination that God hates, sin. This man says, "Mr. Preacher, we wish you would not speak so plainly about sin. Our young people, hearing you, will be more likely to indulge in sin. Call it something else, like inhibition, or error, or a mistake, or even distortion of our nature. Please don't call it sin." The preacher says, "I understand what you mean." And then he went to his desk. He pulled out a little bottle. And this bottle, he said, contains arsenic. You see on the bottle this red label that says poison in bold letters. Would you suggest that I change the label and put it here, soda water? The more harmless the name, the more dangerous the dose will be, isn't it? The fear of the Lord will cause us to see sin for what it is. Sin. Man may call sin an accident. God calls it abomination. We call it a blunder. God calls it blindness. We call it a defect. God calls it a disease. We call it a chance. God called it your choice. We call it an error. God called it enmity. We call it fascination. God called it fatality. We call it infirmity. God called it iniquity. We call it luxury. God called it leprosy. We call it liberty. God called it lawlessness. We call it trifle. God called it tragedy. We call it mistake. God calls it madness. We call it weakness. God calls it willfulness. What is the basis of your choice in your many, many decisions that you have to make in this life? The book of Proverbs reminds us, choose wisdom. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, and it will give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. These are the manifold facets, jewels, as it were, if we were to receive the wisdom from God. And so God says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, ready to capture that bird. Are you that bird? And they lay wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Never, never choose because of greed. That is the most foolish thing that any parent, any adult, any young people could ever choose to do because of greed. Please, choose wisely, carefully. Some things you and I cannot do. When we sow bad habits, we cannot reap a good character. When we sow jealousy and hatred, we cannot reap love and friendship. When we sow wicked thoughts, we cannot reap a clean life. When we sow wrong deeds, we cannot reap righteousness. When we sow dissipation, we cannot reap a healthy body. When we choose crooked dealings, we cannot reap success indefinitely. When we sow dishonesty, we cannot reap integrity. When we sow profane words, we cannot reap clean speech. When we sow deception, we cannot reap confidence. When we sow greed and envy, we cannot reap generosity. When we sow the neglect of the Bible, we cannot reap a well-guided life. Life's two choices are before us. Every moment, every day of our lives until the Lord comes again. May God grant us the strength, the courage to choose wisdom. It begins with the fear of the Lord. Have you chosen wisdom? If you have chosen the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is the first and the most blessed step that you have ever made. Was it not? And after that, continue to choose to follow His way. Don't go your own life pathway. It will be fraught with problem after problem after problem after problem without end. Choose to follow the word of life, and your life and my life will truly be an abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee, acknowledging, O Lord, that we are weak, that we are people who need You. We are people who time and time again have made the wrong choices in crossroads of our lives. And very often, Father, we have to pay for the wrong choices that we have made, all because we have failed to seek Thee in prayer, or because we have failed to search the Scriptures to know the mind of Christ in our decision-making. Heavenly Father, as we begin this camp, we pray, O Lord, for the next few sessions as we search the Scriptures together. Thy Holy Spirit may cause each one of us, O Lord, to seek
the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge. Help us, Father, as children of the living God, to choose wisely in our relationship, in our bringing up of children, in our job, in our day-to-day affairs. May Thou lead us and guide us each step of the way, that our lives will truly bring glory and honor to Thy holy and blessed name. For we ask all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.